John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I just want to point out that I think Brother Isaiah looks really good too. If you ever notice, John chapter 13. Look if you would, starting at verse 21. John chapter 13, verse 21. Says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning again, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that not only will we hear the word, Lord, but we will be doers of it. Lord, help us to understand the message that you have for us this morning, Lord. I pray you'll speak to all the hearts that are here this morning. Lord, if there happens to be a person here that's not saved this morning, Lord, I pray that they will understand the gospel. Lord, that they will make the right decision and call upon you for salvation and not put it off another day. So many today, Lord, think that it's just religion. They think it's just a game. It's just what other people believe. But Lord, it is reality. That is appointed unto men once to die, and then after this, the judgment. And Lord, I pray that everybody will understand that one of these days they will face death. And when they face death, Lord, with the decision they make now will mean everything. It'll mean where they end up going, Lord, after they die. And Lord, I just pray this morning that everybody in here will be saved before we leave. And Lord, if there's an unsaved soul, Lord, help them to call upon you this morning. And Lord, I pray if there are folks in here, Lord, that as Christians who know, Lord, that they can do more for you, who know, Lord, that they can serve you better, Lord, perhaps they're going through problems, Lord, that they need to rely upon your strength and they're only relying upon theirs. Lord, help them this morning, Lord, to see the truth and hear a message you have for them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, I want you to underline the phrase bound there in verse 23. It says, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, the Gospel of John, as we know, was written by the Apostle John. John also wrote the books of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. In fact, the only person to write more books of the Bible than John was Paul. And when we read in the Gospel of John, there is a name that John, the writer, always refers to himself as, and that is the disciple whom Jesus loves. Now, John refers to himself as a disciple whom Jesus loves five times in the Gospel of John. But strangely, he never refers to himself as that in that name again in any of his other writings, not in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, none of that, only in the Gospel of John. Now, some may think that when John refers to himself in this manner, that he was bragging, saying that, you know, he's the one who Jesus really loved. And they think that maybe he's trying to place himself above the other apostles. But you got to remember that even though this was penned by John, it was inspired by God himself. It's God's words. And if God did not want that phrase in Scripture, then it would not be in Scripture. Amen? I mean, so God wanted it there. So the fact is that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't love the other disciples. That's not what he says. He didn't say that John didn't call himself the disciple, the only disciple that Jesus loved. He said the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so he did love all the others just as much as he loved John. But John is distinguished by God as someone who is set apart in his relationship with the Lord. In other words, it's like when you read the Gospel of John, it's like the Lord, when he inspired the book of John, he wants people to see that there was something a little bit different about John than it was with the other disciples. Where the other disciples didn't quite have what John had. And John was one of those who chose to get close to the Lord, and that's how he became known as as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I will tell you that John was somewhat rare amongst the disciples. He was not your average Christian. He was not like those other disciples. But John wasn't rare because of his circumstance. He was rare because of who he chose to be. And each of us this morning can cling to Jesus more so than what we do now. Each of us can be more intimate with Christ. In fact, we can all be just as intimate with Christ as John was. But we must choose to do so. You say, why? Why do you think that John was the disciple whom the Lord loved? Why does he keep on referring to that? Why does God allow him to put that in Scripture to call himself that? Because there was something different about John in the way he approached Jesus Christ than any other disciples. He was rare in the fact that he did things that none of the other disciples did. He was able to see things that some of the other disciples weren't able to see. He was in places that other disciples were not in those places. Why? Because there was just something different about him. He seemed to be closer to the Lord than a lot of the other disciples. And may I tell you today, in this very church, there are some people that are closer to the Lord than other people. Amen? I mean, amongst Christians today, there are some who are really close to the Lord and there are some who are not. Now, the Lord loves all of us the same, all the Christians the same. The Lord loves us all. We're all his children. But, you know, there are just some that are closer. In our own families, there are some that are closer to Dad than the other kids are. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that Dad loves one more than the other, but there are just some that are closer. May I tell you today that if you want to be closer to the Lord, you can. And the only person that's stopping you from getting closer to the Lord is yourself. John made a choice. And the choice he made resulted in him being called the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so you say, boy, I'd love to be as close and intimate with the Lord as John was, but I just don't know how. Well, this morning I'm going to show you some things about John that will show you how to get closer to the Lord. Now, you've heard it said before, a person is only as close to God as they want to be. And John wanted to be as close as he possibly could to the Lord. And there are three things I want to show you this morning that John was willing to do that proves that he wanted to be closer to the Lord. And if each one of us are willing to do those things, then we can become closer to the Lord as well. Now, what was it John was willing to do that proved that he wanted to be close to the Lord? What did he do? Well, number one, he was willing to sit where others didn't sit. He was willing to sit where others didn't sit. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, in our text here, we read of the time of the Lord's Supper, where the disciples were all gathered around Jesus at the table. Now, I want you to notice here that in verse 23 of our text, it says this. It says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now, how many people were there leaning on his bosom? There were 11 other people there. Amen? But only one was leaning on his bosom. Only one was leaning against the Lord. When all the other disciples were just satisfied with just being in the same room with Jesus, when all the rest of the disciples were personally content to be somewhat close to the Lord, John chose to lay his head on the bosom of Jesus. He chose to get a little closer than everybody else. It was his choice. He didn't have to do that. He could have been like the rest of the disciples and said, you know what, Jesus, here, I'm good with that. There are a lot of Christians today that are perfectly fine where they're at with Jesus Christ. They don't want to get closer. They're content with where they are. They, you know, they're close to the Lord, but they're not, you know, too close. Wouldn't want to be a fanatic or anything. That's the way a lot of Christians are. May I tell you that everybody in this room could get closer to the Lord. Everybody can. And if there are people today that say, you know, I'm just content where I am, then you need to start getting closer to the Lord. You need to change your attitude. Hey, listen, you want to get as close to the Lord as you possibly can. And the closer you get to him, the more that you're going to feel that love, the more that you're going to know him, the more you're going to know the heartbeat of God. I'll tell you this, when you see how John was and you see how he was always close to the Lord, one thing about it, it seemed that when it come right down to it, John was more, he had more confidence. He seemed to know more about the Lord. He seemed to know more about what the Lord wanted. Why? Because he was right there close to him. He was closer than everybody else. Again, it doesn't mean that Jesus loved him anymore. But he was closer. He made a choice to be closer. And he was willing to sit where nobody else was willing to sit. He was willing to put his head where nobody else was willing to put their head. He said, the rest of you, you're content where you're at, just being in the room, but not me. Not me. There's the Lord, and I'm just going to lay my head against him because, well, I just want to be as close as I possibly can to him. Amen. You know what? I want to be as close as I possibly can to the Lord too. Amen. And so should you. Listen, we can have the same attitude. We can have the same intimate relationship with the Lord that John had. But you have to want to do that. You got to be willing to sit where other people won't sit. The problem is today that there are a lot of Christians who just want to be like all the other average Christians in the world. They want to be like the normal Christian of the day. The normal Christian of the day is not close to the Lord. I can tell you that right now. The average everyday Christian today is not close to the Lord. They're kind of like those other disciples sitting in the same room. They're content with where they're at. I've got my religion. You've got yours. Don't come preach to me. Amen? That's their attitude. Now, they're saved people. But they don't want to get too close. You know, I understand, you know, that coming to church on Sunday morning. But now, hey, when it comes to doing anything else, hey, I got my life. You're only so close to the Lord. My question to you this morning is how close you want to be? How close you want to be? John said, I'm not going to be content with just being in the same room. I want to be as close as I can possibly be to the Lord. And so he was willing to sit where other people weren't willing to sit. And so John, he was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it come to the point to where he was close to it, and other people knew that he was close to the Lord. And all the people knew that he chose to be close to the Lord. And so when it come right down to it, look what Peter said in John chapter 13, verse 24. Now, this is a strange thing. He says this, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, talking about John, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Now, here's the deal. They're sitting there, and the Lord says this. He says, there's going to be somebody here that's going to betray me. The person that dips into the sop with me is the person that's going to betray me. So here's Peter. Okay, now get this. They're all sitting at the table. All the disciples are sitting there. They're content where they are with Jesus Christ. And there's John. He's got his head right there on the bosom of Jesus. And here's Peter. After Jesus says, now, the person who betrays me is going to be the one who sops the bread with me. It's going to be somebody who's going to betray me tonight. Peter could have said, Lord, who is it going to be? But what did he do? He said, John, why don't you ask the Lord who it is? Why would he do that? Can we tell you why? Because even Peter could see that John was closer to the Lord. He said, John, why don't you ask? You know what I've noticed? I've noticed since I got into ministry that whenever I go to my family's, you know, if I go visit family, which I don't get to visit family very often, but when I do visit family, they know I'm a preacher, so you know what they do? Yeah. They have me pray over the food. When it comes time to pray for anything, they say, could you pray for this? And I'll say, have you prayed for it? Well, you know, you got a better end with the Lord than me. Just because I'm a preacher? I mean, that's a silly thing to say, to think that I have a more clear path to talk to the Lord. There's the Lord to listen to me, but he won't listen to you because I'm a preacher. That's a silly thing to say. Hey, I'm just called to be a preacher. You're called to do what the Lord has called you to do. And listen, I try to be close to the Lord, but for you to think that I'm close to the Lord just because I'm a preacher, that's not biblical. Hey, listen, I know preachers today that aren't close to the Lord at all. I think there are some preachers today who aren't even saved. And so the person says, well, you're a preacher, so you've got a better end than me. Now, listen, the problem is you need to get closer to the Lord. That's like Peter saying, John, why don't you ask him exactly who it's going to be? My family saying, Bob, why don't you pray for us? I mean, after all, you're a little bit closer. That's exactly what Peter thought. Peter saw him right there with his head down on John. He says, hey, listen, John, why don't you ask him? I mean, after all, you're the one that's so close to the Lord. Why didn't Peter get close to the Lord? Why didn't he put his head on his bosom? Why didn't he listen to the heartbeat of God? Because he chose not to. All those other disciples chose not to, but not John. You see, John was willing to sit where other people weren't willing to sit. He was willing to get closer to the Lord when nobody else was willing to get close to the Lord. Now, turn if you would over to Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to show you something. To show you how close to the Lord John really was. Again, Jesus had, he said, somebody's going to betray me. Peter looks at John and said, John, why don't you ask the Lord exactly who it is? I mean, after all, Peter, you're the one that's closest to the Lord. Why don't you ask him? In Matthew chapter 26, it continues on with the story. In Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 19. It says, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and everyone began to ask of them, saying unto the Lord, Lord, is it I? So every one of these disciples were saying to themselves, I wonder if it's me who's going to betray the Lord. Am I going to be the one who's going to actually dip the sop? I mean, am I going to be the one who's going to betray the Lord here? Now flip back, if you would, over to John chapter 13. Flip back over there. And it says in verse 24, Simon Peter therefore begged to him that he should ask who it is that should be of whom he spake. Everybody, all the other disciples are saying, I wonder if it's me. Am I going to be the one to betray the Lord? Peter says, John, why don't you ask him who it is? Because it might be me. It might be this guy. And Thomas over there saying, well, it might be me. And Peter over there is saying, well, it might be me. But look at verse 25. He then on Jesus' breast, that's John, saith unto the Lord, look what it says. He said this, Lord, who is it? Everybody else was saying what? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Am I going to be the one? John didn't say that. John was right there, laying against Jesus, and he said, Lord, who's it going to be? John knew it wasn't going to be him. That's where he didn't say, Lord, is it me? Everybody else saying that, but not John. John said, Lord, who is it? I'm anxious to find out who this cat is that's going to be who's going to be betraying you. I want to know who it is, because it ain't me. And one of these 12, right, one of these 11 right here got problems, but it ain't me. You see why? Because he's right there. He's close to the Lord. He knows the Lord. He knows about the Lord. He's gotten close to him. He's chose to get close to him. He had confidence that those other disciples didn't have. Those other disciples were worried to death that it was going to be one of them, but not John. May I tell you, if there's no other reason in the world to get close to the Lord, it's just so that you'll have more confidence in this world. That you'll have, you know, more hope, more confidence. The fact that you know you're not going to lose your salvation. I'll tell you something, folks. There are people today, that Christians, that doubt whether or not they can keep their salvation and think they can lose their salvation. I'll tell you this. I will just tell you, a person today who doubts, who thinks they can lose their salvation, you need to get closer to the Lord and understand how he feels about things, what the Bible says about things, and understand why he saved you and how he saved you and what he expects from you. If you understood these things, if you got a little bit closer to the Lord, you wouldn't doubt your salvation. Amen. You wouldn't. For one thing, you'd know, listen, you'd say this, my master, Jesus Christ, does not lie.
That's right,
man. You know, I always wondered, and I don't get too far off on the subject, but I always wondered what any of us men would do in here if somebody walked up and called your wife or your kids or even you a liar right to your face. You ever think about how you'd react? You realize that every time a person thinks that they can lose their salvation or says they can lose their salvation, you realize what they're saying, right? If you don't realize what they're saying, you go over to 1 John chapter 5 and you read about the testimony that God gives of his son. And then you say, I believe that that's not going to happen. I believe that I could lose my salvation. Folks, at the end of the day, you're calling God a liar.
That's right.
You are. And I'm going to tell you something. Somebody that's close to the Lord would know better. Would know better. You want to be close to the Lord? You want to have that confidence? Get as close to the Lord as you possibly can. Get as close to him as possibly can. John made a choice. When everybody else here was worried if they were going to lose their salvation, John wasn't. When everybody else there was saying, you know what, we would ask the Lord, but John, you're the closest. You're the one always laying on his bosom. Why don't you do it? That says a lot about John, wouldn't you say? I guess that's the reason he's called the disciple whom Jesus loved. We want to be closer to the Lord. He was willing to sit where others were not willing to sit. Not only that, but another thing that showed that he was willing to get closer to the Lord is that he was willing to stand where others would not stand. If you read the account of the crucifixion of Christ in all four of the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary. People were making fun of him. All the people who once followed him were now nowhere to be found. I mean, here he is hanging from the cross. What happened to those 5,000 people that were fed by the Lord? Where were they at? Probably a lot of them were over there saying, crucify him, crucify him. Where were those people? How about all those people? Hey, here last week we learned about, remember the 10 lepers? Well, not only were those 9 not there, but the 10th one wasn't there either. Where was he at? What about all the people that had the devils and everything cast out of them? Where were they at? It says when he's on that cross, he was alone. You know how many people he healed? You know how many people he cast devils out of? You know how many people he made the lame to walk and the blind to see? Where were they at? Gone. Why? Everybody's persecuting him up there. He's hanging on the cross. People are walking by and making fun of him and everything. But there was one person who didn't leave his side. Give you a guess who that was. John. John was one who did not leave his side. Turn if you would to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. When everybody else was not willing to stand by the Lord, when everybody else, when people started making fun of the Lord and crucifying the Lord, all the other Christians there, all the other people there, they weren't nowhere to be found. But John was there. In John chapter 19, look at verse 25. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Now watch this, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, there's John again. Because John was so close to the Lord, he had such an intimate relationship with the Lord, he was willing to stand with the Lord no matter what people were saying about him. When other people were making fun of Christ, when other people were making fun of Christians, when other people were making fun of God's ways, there was one there saying, you know what? I stand with the Lord. All you rest of people can stand with the world, but I'm standing with the Lord. And I'm not going to put up with people using his name in vain. And I'm not going to put up with people saying bad things about him. I'm not going to put up with people making fun of him and using him in jokes. I'm going to stand right here with the Lord. Why? Because I love him. And I'm close to him. And he means something to me. Now, I'm not saying that these other disciples that the Lord didn't mean something to them. I'm not saying that. But I will tell you that, and I'm not saying that there are Christians today who appreciate it when other people are making fun of the Lord. My question is this, is how come they're not taking a stand against it? How come they're not willing to say, hey, wait a second, I don't stand with you, I stand with the Lord. I don't want to hear you call his name in vain. I don't want to hear you making jokes about him. I don't want to hang with a crowd that's making fun of Christians. I want to hang with the Lord. How come there's not more Christians standing over here with the Lord? Because they're not close to the Lord like John was. They're not close to him. You may be in here this morning, and maybe you're a Christian who actually makes fun of other Christians. You say, that never happens. Oh, yeah? You go out there and you start street preaching. You go out there and you start taking a stand for the Lord, and you'll see that your biggest adversaries are those people who call themselves Christians.
That's right.
That is your biggest adversaries. And that's a shame. Amen? Because there aren't very many Christians on this planet. Well, we may think there are, but there aren't. That Bible says that broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the way. If you're saved, you're in the minority on this planet. You would think that we'd all stick together and be on the Lord's side. Amen?
Yes.
That's not the way it is. That's a false reality. The truth is, if you take a stand for the Lord, then you're just as much in the minority amongst Christians as John was amongst them disciples. Hard truth, amen? Hey, there were 11 disciples. You say, well, you can't count Judas. Okay, there were 10 more then. Where were they at? Even Matthias wasn't there. Amen? But John was. Why? He was close. And because he is close, he says, you know what? When the rest of y'all want to go hide, when people start making fun of Christ, when the rest of you want to go somewhere else and don't want to be seen by the crowd, right here when they're crucifying the Lord, you go ahead. But I'm going to stick with him.
Amen.
I'm going to stick with him. You see, that's the reason, one of the reasons that John is known as a disciple whom the Lord loved. Why? He was willing to get closer to the Lord than all the other disciples. He was willing to sit in places that the other disciples weren't willing to sit. When they could have, hey, listen, any of those disciples could have laid their head on Jesus' bosom. They didn't. Any of those disciples could have stood right there by that cross, and it would have been Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and there's John, and there's Peter, and there's James. But that's not the way it was. It was just John. Of all of his disciples, follow him around for 3.5 years. The only one that was willing to be so close to the Lord, he says, I'm not leaving his side, was John. When all the other disciples were nowhere to be found. He was willing to sit where other people were not willing to sit. He was willing to stand where other people were not willing to stand. Let me ask you something. Are you willing to stand for Jesus Christ when everybody else refuses to this morning? Yeah. Are you willing to take a stand for him? You say, well, Pastor, you know, I want to, but I'm so scared of what others may say. Yeah, that's the same problem those disciples had too. You see, they didn't want to be associated with Jesus Christ. You say, I don't believe that. What do you think Peter did the night when they led Jesus out from where he had been brought through that false trial and everything? They brought him out. Peter's out there denying that he even knew the Lord. I mean, not only did he not show up at the cross, but he denied that he even knew him. You say, I can't believe he'd do such a thing. Christians do it all the time.
That's right.
I mean, you want to see where a real Christian's at in his spiritual walk? Walk up to somebody you know has called themselves a Christian, and they're with their friends, and walk up and start talking about Jesus Christ in front of their friends and see how they act. Next thing you know, they're like, gotta go, and they leave. Hey, that's the same thing the disciples did. Hey, when they were crucifying Jesus Christ and they were making fun of him, he's like, got somewhere else to be. It's been the same way for a long time. If you're close to the Lord, when somebody starts talking about the Lord, you're going to want to talk about him too. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you this, you know, I love it when people want to talk about I love my kids. And people want to talk to me about my kids, I love it. I can listen to it all day long. I'm not going to say when you start talking about my kids, I say, you know what, I really don't want to hear you talking good about my kids. I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, that's not the way I'm going to be. Amen? Why? Because I'm close to my kids. I love my kids. If you're close to the Lord, when somebody starts talking about the Lord, you're going to want to talk about him too. Somebody comes up and goes, hey, was the Lord good to you today? Oh, you should have seen what Jesus Christ did for me this morning. How many Christians do you suppose would react that way if you approached them in the mall? Let me tell you, again, if you're willing to stand with the Lord, you are in a big minority.
Amen.
You are.
Yes, sir.
In fact, of all your Christian friends, you're in a minority amongst them too. Even in this church, I will tell you this, if you're willing to take a stand for the Lord, chances are a lot of people in this church aren't. John was willing to sit where others did not want to sit. He was willing to stand where others were not willing to stand. And that proves that truly John was a disciple whom Jesus loved. There's one more thing that John was willing to do that proved that he really was a disciple whom Jesus loved. And that was he served where others would not serve. In John chapter 19, look if you would at verse 26. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now think about what that's saying. The moment that Jesus said that, John says, Mary, you come to my house now and I'm going to take care of you. Why? Because you're the mother of Jesus. I'm willing to take care of you for the rest of your days. Because the Lord asked me to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Do you ever read where any other disciples ever offered and say, hey, why don't you let Mary come over to my house and we'll take care of her? You don't read about that, do you? But John was willing to take care of her. John was willing to do what the Lord wanted him to do. You know, if Peter had been standing there, the Lord would have said, behold, Peter, thy mother. But Peter wasn't standing there. If James was standing there, he could say, behold, James, thy mother. But James wasn't there. There was one who was there. And the Lord looked upon him, the one that he could trust to do what he wanted done, and said, John, she's your mother now. Take care of her. And John did it. He was willing to serve. And nobody else was willing to serve. And we wonder why he was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Don't you see that he was willing to do the things that other people weren't willing to do? That he was willing to get closer than everybody else was willing to get close? I mean, he was willing to do those things. It's not like he was bragging when he wrote down the disciple whom Jesus loved. The truth of the matter is when you see the things that were going on, it sure appears like he loved Jesus a little bit more than the rest of the disciples. Amen? I mean, he was willing to do all those things. He was willing to do what Jesus asked him to do. And because he sat where others would not sit, he stood where others wouldn't stand, he served where others wouldn't serve, that proves that no doubt that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, because he was so close to the Lord, and because he was so intimate with the Lord, Jesus allowed John, and only John, to see what others could not see. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 21, and I'll show you. In John chapter 21, look, if you would, at verse 4. It says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Now, get this, they're out on the Sea of Tiberias, they're out there. The Lord had already been, he had already been crucified, they put him in the tomb. They actually went where Jesus told them to go. They're out there fishing, they're on a boat. Then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up on the shore. And it says here, "But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Look at verse 5. "Jesus then said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." Now, isn't it interesting that of all the disciples on that boat, John was the only one that recognized that it was the Lord? Isn't that an interesting thing? It never does say that Peter recognized that it was the Lord. He took John at his word. Look what it says. "Now, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is Lord. Now, when Peter heard that it was the Lord..." That's when he jumped in and swam over there. And when he got over there, he saw it was the Lord. The point I'm trying to make is this. The one disciple who was willing to sit where others weren't willing to sit, was willing to stand where others weren't willing to stand, who was willing to serve where others weren't willing to serve, who made the choice to get closer to the Lord, to lay his head right there on his bosom, who said, I'm gonna be as close to the Lord as I possibly can. That one disciple who did that was the one disciple that the Lord revealed more to than the other disciples. How do you think that John knew it was the Lord? Because he knew the Lord intimately. He was close to the Lord. He looked over there and goes, That's the Lord. None of the other disciples ever noticed it. They had been around for 3.5 years. You think that you could be around somebody for 3.5 years and not recognize them sitting on the shore saying, Cast your nets in. And get this. He said, Cast your nets in there. And they'd been out there fishing, hadn't caught anything all night long. They go out there and cast their nets in, they bring it in, and there's so many fish, they can't even bring the boats in. I mean, we're getting ready to sink the boats, how many fish there are. I've never had a great fishing day like that in my life. Amen? So all these fish are being in there, and they're all disciples are still saying, Wow, what happened? This guy tells us to go bring in the nets, and all these fish here. Seems like some sort of miracle. Wonder who that is on the shore. You'd think they'd say, There's only one person who could do that. No, that's not what they said. They were amazed at all the fish, and they still didn't know. But John knew. John knew. John says, You know what? There's only one who can do that. There's only one who could tell us to cast our nets into the sea and bring up all these fish. That would be the same one that said, Hey, go out there and take that coin out of that fish's mouth and give it to these people for the taxes. That would be the same one who said, Get up and walk. That would be the same one who raised the dead. That'd be the same one. That's got to be my Savior. That's the one I know. Amen. You see, because John was so close to the Lord, he was able to see things that other people were not able to see. And I'm just going to tell you this morning that the closer you are to the Lord, the more you're going to see things that other people aren't able to see. That's a fact. There are people today who can't, how many of you agree that there is deception going on in this world today?
Amen.
And how many would you agree with me tonight or this morning that there are a lot of Christians who don't see that deception when it's right there in front of their face?
Yes, sir.
Do you know why that is? Because they're not as close to the Lord as they need to be. If you get, the closer you get to the Lord, the more the Lord's going to reveal you about the truth. The more the Lord's going to show you the truth. Hey, listen, the Christian that's closest to the Lord is not going to get mad when that Bible points out some sin. The person that's closer to the Lord says, you know what, I need to take care of that because I love the Lord and I want to make him happy and I want to do his will. And I'm not going to get mad when the Bible points out the sin. Why? Because it's the Bible revealing it to them. But there are Christians today who aren't interested in hearing the truth. They go to churches where they don't preach the truth. All they do is preach feel-good messages. And they're happy with that. Why? Because they don't want to know the truth. But the closer they get to the Lord, the more they're going to know the truth. And I'm going to tell you right now, when the truth is presented to you, do you get angry about it? Do you think that preacher is just preaching to me? He must have known what I did last night. No, I don't care what you did last night. I know one thing, you had an opportunity to do something last night that was really, really neat, and that's give tracts to people. But listen, it's not that I'm trying to step on your toes. It's not like I'm trying to point you out. I'm just trying to preach the Bible. And when that Bible points something out to you, it's the Lord saying, here's truth. How close do you want to be to me? Do you want to know the truth about things? You want me to reveal myself to you? You want me to reveal the truth to you? How close do you want to be? But most Christians today, they don't want to be too close to the Lord because they don't want the truth. They don't want it. Again, you are only as close to the Lord as you want to be. But I want you to notice that because John was so close, it was John who was revealed that it was the Lord standing there on the shore. And it was John, when all the other disciples, they had to take John at his word. And that just blows my mind. That these people who were saved, these people who had been with Christ, even though they were his disciples, they didn't even recognize it was him right there. You know, I'll say this and I'll close. There are a lot of things that happen in our lives. In fact, everything that happens in our life, it's the Lord's will that happens, right?
That's right.
But very few Christians actually see that. Very few actually Christians actually see it. They think it's because of something they did. They think it's because of, you know, I have a car because I worked hard. They don't see the Lord in it. There are a lot of situations going on in your lives this morning that you think it's because of what somebody else did or this right here is happening. May I tell you, you don't see the Lord in it. The Lord has a purpose in that.
Amen.
And the closer you get to the Lord, the more you're going to see, the more you're going to be able to recognize him in everything that's going on. The closer you get to him. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to have the truth revealed to me. I want to understand that everything that goes on in my life is because the Lord's will for it is the will for it to happen, and the Lord's right there with me, and he's not going to leave me nor forsake me. Listen, you got to be close to the Lord to understand those things.
That's right.
You got to be close to the Lord. And this morning, if you're just like those other disciples, you're just the average disciple, the average Christian, and you're content with where you are with the Lord, you are missing out on so much.
Yes.
You're missing out on so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were just willing to take a stand for the Lord, if you're willing to just get closer to the Lord, if you're willing just to serve the Lord for the fact that you just love him and you just want to do what he wants you to do, if you're willing to get closer to the Lord than where you are right now, the Lord has all kinds of things that he's ready to reveal to you.
Amen.
How close are you to the Lord? And how close do you really want to be? Let's stand.